Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and there are many more podcasts for this and all our other faith radio shows available on our website. You can just go to myfaithradio.com. And thanks so much for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
He's a psychologist, an author, and a veteran broadcaster. But most importantly, he's a dad. Welcome to Dr. Bill Meyer Live on the Faith Radio Network. Stay tuned for a faith and culture connection, a biblical perspective on current events, and practical family advice with psychologist Dr. Bill Meyer. You can join the conversation by calling 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Now, let's join Bill Meyer live.
Welcome. It's so nice to have you with us on this Saturday. We appreciate you making Faith Radio part of your weekend. Are you part of a blended family, or do you know someone who is in a blended family? If so, how do you navigate the holidays with all those step relatives, including, what, maybe eight different grandparents and who knows how many step uncles and step aunts? Today we're going to be talking to an expert on step families from Family Life, my friend Ron Deal, and he's going to help us make it through the holiday season. Now, even if you're not part of a blended family, I would challenge you to think about all the blended families that are in your sphere of influence, perhaps in your church, in your neighborhood, at your workplace. Pretty much everybody is touched by a blended family in some way today. And what is our responsibility as members of the body of Christ to reach out to those who are in blended families or who are single parents? And that's coming up here in just a few minutes on the Faith Radio Network. Now, I do receive emails, and I try to respond to those as often as I can here on Saturdays. I heard from Diane, who wrote in from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. And Diane writes, "Dear Dr. Bill, my fiancé and I broke up 6 months ago, and I am dreading Christmas this year. I'm unable to fly home to be with my family, so I will be all alone at Christmas. I know I should be joyful at Christmas time, but to be honest, I've been feeling kind of depressed. What should I do?" Well, Diane, first of all, I am so sorry to hear about your broken engagement. I know that a loss like that can be particularly difficult to deal with during the holidays. And it may seem like everybody around you is happy and enjoying the holiday season. And wherever you go, you hear the holiday music playing and you see the lights. And you are feeling sad and alone right now. So here's a newsflash for you. It's okay to feel sad. Don't buy into this myth that everybody is supposed to be super cheerful during the holidays. Everybody's supposed to be the elf on the shelf. No, the Bible tells us there is a time to mourn, and this may be one of those times for you. And Diane, God knows you are feeling down right now, and He cares about you. In fact, He cares about you more than you will ever realize. He tells us in His Word that He is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. And, you know, Scripture also has some very important things to say about how God uses human relationships when we're grieving, and He uses those relationships in the healing process. We're told to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to bear one another's burdens. And God wants you to share your sad feelings with caring Christian friends, people from your church, people from your small group. And if you're not in one, I would encourage you, Diane, to get involved in one. And you know what? Let them bear your burdens for a while. You can tell them what you're going through. God wants you to. And then you can return the favor when they experience a downtime in the future. That's what being in the body of Christ is all about. And Diane, as far as, you know, you mentioned you're starting to feel kind of depressed. If your mood doesn't improve in the next couple of months, I would encourage you to call my friends in the counseling department at Focus on the Family. They have a free telephone counseling service, and they can also refer you to a licensed Christian therapist in your area. Their number is 1-800-A-FAMILY, 1-800-A-FAMILY. And Diane, I'm going to be praying for you. I know the next couple of weeks will be tough, as you head into Christmas, and I'm sorry you can't be with your family this year. If you have a question for me on any topic, it could be relationships, it could be marriage, could be child development, Christianity and culture, would love to hear from you. The address is just drbill@myfaithradio.com. drbill@myfaithradio.com. Why don't you shoot me an email this week? And again, thanks, Diane, for taking the time and for being so vulnerable in reaching out. Well, just 19 days till Christmas, and what is one of the best Christmas gifts you can give your kids this year? It's not an iPhone. It's not an iPod. It's not an iPad. It's not even the super deluxe Star Wars Lego set for your 8-year-old son. You know what it is? It's making faith relevant in your home. Making faith relevant in your home. There are a whole bunch of studies out showing that a large number of Christian kids are abandoning their faith in college. And there's some new research out that shows that a lot of these kids are not coming back to the church, and they're not coming back to Christianity. And that's why it is so crucial for us to be intentional about passing our faith along to our kids. And this is something moms and dads, as we head into Christmas and a new year, I would really encourage you to pray about. If your Christianity is limited to an hour or two on Sunday mornings, then your kids are going to come to view your faith as hypocritical and meaningless. It needs to permeate all aspects of your life. And I know that's not easy. And it's not just about having a family devotional, you know, one day a week, although that's a great thing. It's about really living out your faith on a daily basis and engaging your kids with God's promises, his precepts, on a daily basis. And you know, there's some research out from the University of North Carolina that I love because it shows that teenagers who are actively involved in a faith community are much less likely to get involved in some of the risky behaviors that so many kids are falling victim to these days. You know, I often talk about some of the things that unfortunately in youth culture today that are so dangerous and that are tempting our kids. But kids that are plugged in to a healthy discipleship-oriented youth group on a regular basis are much less likely to get involved in some of those risky behaviors. So, and I often say to parents, you know, if you live in a smaller community and maybe the church you go to doesn't really have an active youth group, I would encourage you to find a church that has one. Maybe your kids' friends go to another church that has a really rockin' youth group. That's the place you want your kids to go. Yeah, and you know, it's not that they're somehow betraying you by going to another church on a Wednesday night or even a Sunday morning, because this is such a critical time in their lives. They need to be fed. They need to be discipled. And if there's nothing going on at your church, find a church where, and even if you have to drive a little ways, I just think that's so important during this time of development. And of course, prayer is so critical in making faith relevant in your home. Pray for your kids and pray with your kids. And as you are praying, ask God to help you provide your children with the kind of unfailing love and clear moral guidance that they are going to need to survive in a 21st century world. And I'd be glad to help you. If you are struggling right now with a preteen or teen at home, maybe you've got some rebellion going on, maybe they're rejecting your Christianity, shoot me an email and I'll send you some resources. I'd love to help out, because this is just an area that's just so such a burden for me as I look out upon the landscape of what's happening in today's youth culture. And I mentioned Focus on the Family before. Man, they have so many great resources. You may have heard about their website, PluggedIn.com, which is just a great resource for parents on entertainment, movies, television, music, and video games, headed up by my friend Bob Walaszewski. So I would encourage you to go there, PluggedIn.com, to find out some more. Well, we thank you so much for joining us here on the Faith Radio Network. Up next, we're going to be talking to my buddy Ron Deal from Family Life, the author of The Smart Step Family, about how families can navigate the holidays, because it's going to be a challenge. Once again, our phone number is 800-93-FAITH, 1-800-93-FAITH. If you've got a question for me or for our guest, give us a call. We'll take a quick break and be right back here on the Faith Radio Network.
It's Dr. Bill Meyer Live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer Live.
And welcome back. So great to have you with us today. My guest is Ron Deal. He is a marriage and family author, a speaker, and a therapist. Ron is the founder of Smart Step Families. He's also the director of Family Life Blended at the Family Life Ministry and the author of a whole bunch of books. Man, The Smart Stepdad, Dating and the Single Parent. He's co-author of The Smart Stepmom and The Remarriage Checkup. Ron has been on a whole bunch of media outlets, including Family Life Today, Focus on the Family, The 700 Club. His work has been cited in a whole bunch of national publications, including USA Today, New York Daily News, Chicago Tribune, ABCNews.com. He's basically a brilliant guy. Ron has a great revised book called The Smart Step Family, The Keys to a Healthy Step Family. And Ron, welcome to Faith Radio.
Bill, it is always good to be with you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well, and I appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday to join us. The holidays coming up, and we're going to talk about how step families can navigate the holidays, because that can be a real challenge in many ways. And I also want to encourage our listeners, even if they're not part of a step family, how they can reach out and minister to those who are in step family situations. But before we do and talk specifically about the holidays, I'd love to know, for you to help maybe paint a picture for our listeners of the current landscape of step families in the United States, because all of us really statistically are touched by a step family in some way, aren't we?
Yeah, we really are. There's a couple of different ways to think about this. Most people, when they think about a step family, they think of a parent and a step parent situation with there's a stepchild in the home. And if we look at it from that vantage point, about 40% of households in the U.S. 40% are step families, and they could have a child that lives in the home full time or part time, comes every other weekend. There's different sorts of arrangements, but that touches an awful lot of the households in the U.S. If we look at it from a individual point of view, 100 million people in the U.S. have a step relationship. They might be a step grandparent, they might be a step child, they might be a step sibling, right? And that's 100 million people. I mean, that's one-third of the U.S. population. And the prediction is that about half of us will have a step relationship at some point in our lifetime. I always use the example of my brother-in-law, who became a stepchild at the age of 48 or 49, I believe, when his mother remarried after her husband had passed away, after my brother-in-law's father had died. A few years go by, and she gets married again. Well, all of a sudden, he's a stepchild. Of course, that's kind of strange for him. But he has children who become step-grandchildren, and now there's some step-great-grandchildren connected into that whole thing. So, you know, one changed relationship can affect many, many people in the generations.
I personally have step-relatives in my own family. My brother went through a divorce when he was very young and remarried. And it's interesting because my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, this week was putting together a family tree. And she said, "Dad, draw it out for me." And so I used a genogram. You're very, very familiar with those. And so I was trying to show her all the different relationships. And when I got to my brother's marriage and children and divorce and remarriage and then another child, she was just – her eyes were spinning. I mean, she didn't know how to comprehend it. And I said, "You know, honey, the most important thing is that we love all of them." And, you know, and we don't see them that often because they're in California, but we love them and, we need to pray for them. And she accepted that. And so, yes, yeah. We've all been touched by step families in some way. And Ron, in the past, the church has not done such a stellar job of ministering to step families. I think that's changed in recent years. How are we doing? How's the evangelical church doing these days on ministering to step families?
I was thinking what you said to your daughter was very appropriate for the church as well. Many church leaders, their heads are spinning. They're trying to figure out, whoa, what's going on with people and culture and families in our church and in our community? And how do we feel about this? What do we do about that? And your message of, well, hey, it's important that we love all of them is so vital. And, you know, of course, that's a no-brainer, right? I mean, Jesus spent his entire career taking outsiders and making them insiders, which, by the way, is what individual step families are also trying to do. There's an outsider step parent, there's an outsider step sibling, and they're trying to figure out how to fit them in as an insider. But the same thing's happening with the church. We as church leaders need to be people who are aware of and reaching out to step families in our communities and in our own churches that are there right under our nose, and letting them know that, hey, whatever your story is, and sometimes that story involves sin and sometimes it doesn't, but whatever your story is, we're connected, we're here, we care, and you're a part of us. And that is the first step towards us then being able to disciple and teach and train and mentor and lead and equip them for the ministry that God would have them to have. So loving them is very significant. And then having the tools and an awareness of how to help. A common question I get from church leaders is, I'm having more and more couples come for premarital counseling, and boy, do I feel overwhelmed. Boy, do I not know what to say to them about their roles as parent, step-parent, as, you know, dealing with the other house. And I've got to learn more about this. That's right. You've got to learn more about it. And even the average churchgoer, you know, it's helpful if they listen to conversations like we're having today so that you can have a sensitivity when you're talking to your neighbor or when you're talking to a friend at church about the holidays and their step family or about just different aspects of life. You don't have to become an expert on the subject, but having some awareness just creates more compassion in your heart and allows you to really reach out and minister to them in ways that God allows.
How do you respond to church leaders who say, Ron, by all this blended family stuff you're doing, you're really encouraging divorce? I mean, the Bible is so clear that, you know, divorce, God hates divorce. And I know you've received that question before because you speak all over the country. How do you respond?
Well, of course, God doesn't like it when we keep our promises. And he also knows that it complicates our lives. And so he's looking out for us. And so that's the reason he's not in favor of divorce. That doesn't mean God doesn't love people. It doesn't mean God doesn't use them. It doesn't mean that his redemptive work is not useful or appropriate for them. Of course it is. So the answer is nobody's condoning anything. Nobody's condoning divorce recovery. We don't condone divorce and celebrate recovery. We don't celebrate addiction. You know, we don't celebrate what brought people there. We celebrate what God is doing in them from this point forward, just like Jesus did with the woman at the well, turning her from a five-time divorcee with a lot of complex, chaotic life situations. It turns her into an evangelist where she goes and tells other people about him. That's the kind of stuff we just want to encourage churches to do. By the way, the good news is I don't hear that very often. I mean, it's really, really rare that I hear somebody object in that way. I think church leaders get it. I think pastors understand. And more and more, there's an openness, not just theologically an openness, but there's a practical openness in churches around the country. We have, I'll just mention this, at Family Life, we have now a map that churches can post their ministry on the map. And somebody who happens to go online and does a Google search and was looking for a ministry in their area to get connected to can find your church and your ministry to step families. And so that's just something you can find at familylife.com/blended. And that's just one of the things we're doing. And let me tell you, we've got 70 or 80 churches around the country that are on a proactive, regular basis doing something for step families. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Those are the ones we know about. I'm sure it's going to continue to rise dramatically in the coming decade.
I've been so excited to see how Family Life has taken such a commitment to blended families. Tell me what's happened over the last couple of years. Obviously, Dennis Rainey felt a real burden for step families and then said, hey, this Ron Deal guy, man, he's pretty much the foremost Christian expert. But you weren't at Family Life. You were working independently as a speaker and writer, actually working at a church as a Family Life minister. What happened that brought the two of you together, Ron?
Well, Family Life started looking around and listening to people and realizing there's a whole segment of people that we thought we were ministering to. And here's a common misconception that church leaders have. We have a marriage ministry, therefore we minister to married couples and step families. Or we have a parent training class, or we have, you know, something for families, therefore it applies to all families. And the truth is, it helps. It applies in some way to all families, but it isn't enough. It really isn't the bullseye for couples and step families. And Family Life figured that out. As much as Family Life does international ministry in 105 countries around the world, thousands of people attend our marriage events every year, we were not connected to blended families very well. And Dennis Rainey figured that out, and he had the boldness to say, we need to move in this direction and lead this for the country and really become the first large ministry to have a full-time effort. So we are actively on our way. People on the Faith Radio Network can listen to me on a one-minute radio feature every day, Monday through Friday, Family Life Blended, where we talk about blended family living. They can go online, find churches and resources and conference events, and they can buy material and teach a class, a small group. Pastors can learn about premarital counseling with some online videos that we've created. You know, we're just busy trying to get the word out and helping equip people and churches and families for faithful living. You know, I was listening to you just before I came on the air, and you were talking about how the holidays are such a wonderful opportunity to really connect faith and life. And so many young people today very much need that because they're leaving the church. And I couldn't help but think about two things. Family Life has a resource called Passport to Purity, which has helped thousands of parents connect to their kids in the preteen and early teen years around moral issues and around how are you going to live life? How are you going to make these decisions? And we want to come alongside you. And it's really a wonderful resource. The other thing I thought about were the blended families who have complicated lives that makes faith training even more challenging. Let's think about the holidays. They're here. They're upon us. Just one example of that could be, in our home, Christmas is about Christ. And so our decorations are about Christ and our stories are about Christ. And we go to, church Christmas Eve, and there's a central message centered in Christmas around Jesus. But the child goes to their other home, perhaps, and the other home is just celebrating the holiday. It's about the tree. It's about the gifts. It's about materialism. Maybe a little Jesus sprinkled in there somewhere, but it's really not important. Well, that child is presented with two very different perspectives about faith and life, and this is coming from both from biological parents, right? From mom in one house and dad in the other house, and maybe stepmom or maybe stepdad. And how confusing can that be for a child? That's the kind of thing that we try to help parents think through. What do you do? How do you minister to your child in that environment? But just notice that creates a complication that makes passing faith more challenging. That needs some attention from us in the church. Mm.
Boys, well said. Our guest is Ron Deal. He is the author of The Smart Step Family, and he is the director of Family Life's new ministry to step families, which we're so excited about, Family Life Blended. We're going to take a quick break here on the Faith Radio Network. By the way, if you have any questions for Ron, love to hear from you. 877-93-FAITH is the number. We'll be right back.
The conversation continues right now, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Now, here's Dr. Bill Meyer again on Faith Radio.
And thanks so much for joining us today. Before we get back to our interview with Ron Deal, I want to tell you about a need in the Twin Cities. If you listen on Faith 900, this is something that you should know about. Staff members at the Twin Cities Salvation Army say that clothing donations are critically low right now. And as a result, their adult rehabilitation center in Minneapolis is in jeopardy. That's because this program is 100% funded through thrift store sales. And when they have the donations made, the program has the money they need. They can house up to 120 men in the program. Right now, they can only house 50. And it all has to do with the lack of clothing donations. They typically process about 3,000 pieces of clothing a day, but lately it's been really down, 500 to 700 pieces. And chances are you have at least one bag of clothes sitting in your closet that you can give up. I want you to think about that this week. Maybe you can make a difference in the lives of these men and help out the Salvation Army with a clothing donation. And I know I have some really tacky old sweaters that somebody would love. Here's the number to call, 1-800-SA-TRUCK, as in Salvation Army Truck, 1-800-SA-TRUCK, and they'll come by and pick them up. Or you can go to the website Salvation Army Online, Salvation Army Online, and find out more. But please ask God how he might be leading you this week to help out with this great need. Well, my guest is Ron Deal. He's the director of Family Life Blended at Family Life in Arkansas, and he's also the author of numerous books, including the new, revised, and expanded Smart Step Family. Probably, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say it's the very best resource available for step families in the United States or those who are considering remarriage. This book came out several years ago. Ron updated it and just made it all brand new and shiny. And what did you change about the book? Did you have to update some stats given that a lot of things had changed?
Well, that's exactly one of the things we had to update. I often tell people, Bill, I've written 5.5 books because that book is 50% new.
Wow.
We added a whole new chapters on parenting and parenting under different circumstances. We added a whole new chapter on finances and money management in step families, dealing with the complications related to that, as well as updating and revising some of the statistics and research that has come out in the last 10, 12 years since that book originally came out in 2002. So the 2014 edition is really 50% new.
Something to tell you about Ron. Not only does he have a great heart and he's a wonderful minister to step families and a great speaker, but he's also committed to research, has done a lot of research himself and partnered with others, including David Olson, University of Minnesota, and just done some great work to make sure that what he writes about and what he speaks about is validated by good, solid statistics. And I appreciate that about you so much. And Ron, I was reading one of your articles on the Family Life website, 13 Ideas to Manage Holiday Step Stress, with Christmas just around the corner. Here's the way Ron starts off this article. He says, if you think your life is hectic during the holidays, you ought to try coordinating schedules, dinner plans, and Christmas gifts with the parents of three households, most of whom don't care for each other very much. And he says, stepmother Cherie was trying to explain her holiday stress to her own mom, who'd never experienced step-family life. And she says, everything is just more complicated, Mom. There are so many people who influence our plans and lots of adults who don't share the same priorities. It's like hitting a moving target. Ron, I can't even imagine. I mean, there's enough stress in my family, my intact family, and our extended family over the holidays. Being involved in a step family has just got to be crazy making.
It really can be. I mean, there's just so many moving parts. That's why tip one of the 13 ideas for managing step stress is plan, plan, plan. And I mean, again, everybody understands that. You got to plan certain things in the holidays. You want to get to grandma's house and you want to get to your parents' house. You want to get over to so-and-so. But at the same time, when you multiply the households, and there's different opinions, and there's people who don't like each other in those households, planning becomes exceedingly important. And if you're thinking the week before Thanksgiving is far out enough, you're wrong. If you're thinking sometime mid-December, we need to start talking about visitation schedules with Christmas and the Christmas Day, that's not soon enough. You got to get way out in front of that and start having those conversations to see if you can't nail down who's going to be where, the kid's going to do what. Now, for a lot of people, the visitation schedules dictate how this is going to go, but there's always exceptions to that. I mean, life is a moving target itself, and so you can't always predict that even the visitation schedule is going to make things clear. So try to get out in front. But then here's the other follow-up that I think is really funny. It feels like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. Plan, plan, plan. But then one of the other tips is be flexible, because you may have a great plan, and then lo and behold, 2 days before the plan goes into place, one of the households changes the plan. Mm-hmm. Now what are we going to do? You know, I think that's part of just the frustrating thing. I'm envisioning a stepmom, for example, who has gone out of her way to make sacrifices with her time and schedule and planning and what she would like Christmas to be like to accommodate what has to happen with the children moving between homes. She's got herself ready to follow through on the plan, even though it wasn't necessarily what she wanted. And then all of a sudden, whammo, the other household changes the plan. And again, she is forced into a situation where she doesn't have any control over how this takes place. And she feels left out in the process, forgotten, and very small because other people make the decisions and she has to just cope and deal with it. That's the kind of frustration that stepfamilies experience. And in that case, that stepmother is just really, really feeling like, I don't matter here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a hard place to be at Christmas. You know what I mean? Where's the joy of the season in that? She wants to matter. She wants to feel like she has a voice. So, you know, obviously, she and her husband have lots of conversation, try to get together, deal with what they can deal with, plan what they can plan. But then they just have to swallow hard sometimes and be flexible around the things they can't control. And that is tough. That is really tough. I say to bio parents all the time, your spouse, the step parent, should get a big hug from you on a regular basis and just a big, I appreciate you for having to deal with this. Thank you for serving our family. That sort of, you know, that's how you get through. That's how you nurture one another and get through.
What do you do, Ron, when you have a stepfamily situation where there's a lot of animosity involved, and unfortunately many have? When you go through a divorce, and there are various types of divorce, but some divorces, unfortunately, are highly conflictual, and you have a lot of angry feelings and resentment, and people don't seem to be able to get past that resentment. They're holding on to it. They often use their kids against their ex, which is just tragic. But when it comes to the holidays, what if you are the parent, you are the step parent on the side, and you're trying your best to be flexible and you're trying to be kind, and you have this rigid, unyielding ex on the other side who will not compromise with you? What do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk through the options because it kind of depends. First of all, I call these holiday power plays. You know, it's like, because I know the circumstances and the holidays, I'm gonna use this to get one up on you. And let me tell you, it happens. There are people listening to us right now who can go, yep, that is so my situation. I'm trying to be Jesus in this situation, but the other household plays by a different set of rules, and we are forced to deal with what they bring to us. That is so challenging. First of all, sometimes people have a bad day. And what I mean by that is you normally have a fairly cooperative relationship with the other home, but all of a sudden they do something that really makes you mad. It's really out of line. That's an exception to normal. In other words, that's somebody you might just have to swallow hard and deal with it this time. But what's really, really challenging is a situation where the ex does that constantly. This is the pattern.
This it's not a bad day. It's a bad life.
It's a bad life.
Oh,
exactly.
Man.
That is so well said. And so what do you do? Well, in situations like that, I think you have to be lovingly firm, right? No, we're not going to make an exception. We have the kids till 6 o'clock on Tuesday, and we're going to keep them till 6. You know, that sort of bend where you can bend, but it's okay to not bend sometimes. I think Christians need to hear that. You know, being Christian doesn't necessarily mean you're boundaryless. It doesn't mean that you completely just roll over and let the other household run over you. No, these are kids involved, so sometimes you have to stand up, and the battle is worth it. You just got to choose your battles very, very carefully. But when you choose one, you know, just be lovingly firm. See, that's quite a contrast, isn't it, Bill? Lovingly firm. Right. Mm-hmm. We need to be that way as parents with our teenagers, don't we? And we're still loving. We're not flipping out, going crazy, yelling, screaming, doing dumb stuff. But we're firm and saying, no, you're not going to do that. Sometimes that's what you have to do with the other household. One other thought is in extreme situations, you may have to use the system to become leverage. If they won't abide by the agreements, you may have to go back to court. You may have to get an attorney involved and say, look, here's the agreement. Here's what you're supposed to do. You're going to follow through on that. That's extreme situations. There is always a cost when you go back to court, but sometimes it's what you decent people have to do.
Mm-hmm. Because you have to take care of your kids, and your kids should be the first priority. You mentioned in the Smart Step family the African proverb, when two elephants are fighting, it's the grass that gets trampled. And unfortunately, it's the grass of the little kids that get trampled under the parental anger and resentment. And such a powerful image, and something that I'm sure many people listening right now who are in those situations can relate to. Another thing you talk about in the article is to maintain some simple rituals of connection throughout the holidays. Flesh that out for us.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not going to be able to be with your kids on Christmas Day. Well, that it is what it is. That's not the way you want it. It stinks. But they have a right to be in the other home on Christmas Day. But you can still maintain a little ritual of connection. Maybe it's the good morning, so glad to see you. And you use FaceTime. You use technology. You use Skype. You use texting to stay in touch. Keep those sorts of things alive. You can't have them in your home, but you can stay in touch. The other little rituals are the things that we, by the way, I should define that. Rituals are those little practices that we do, sometimes daily, sometimes on an annual basis. The little things that we do that communicate meaning and togetherness and family. Maybe it's the way you celebrate a birthday or the way you celebrate opening presents on Christmas Day. Whatever that little event is, those rituals are important. And to whatever degree you can keep those rituals going, try to do that. You may have to change some things about how you're going to do your holiday celebration to accommodate other people, other children, folks that are coming in from out of town, whatever that is. But try to keep those small rituals with deep, deep meaning alive. What that says to your children is, I love you. We're still here. You haven't lost me. I know there's 15 new people in the house, but you haven't lost me. That's really important in times of change and times of stress.
Now, that leads right into another one of your tips, which is Parent 364. That means there's that one day, that maybe that Christmas day, where you don't have to obsess on making things perfect. You really have to kind of go with the flow and be flexible, as you said, right?
Yeah, I don't want to pick on moms right now, but I just got to use an illustration that I think maybe moms can relate to. You know, when you've got your heart set on having that one special meal or that one special moment with your children, and because of the visitation schedule, for example, you're not going to get to have that moment. In your mind, it's a disaster. It's a catastrophe, and you think you've failed your kids, and you feel horrible about it. Well, I just want to calm that in you for a minute and just say, you know, it really is okay. Yes, it's a moment that you're going to miss, and your kids may miss it, but you're parenting them 364 days out of that year, and it's okay. In the grand scheme of life, it's not a catastrophe. It is a hiccup. It is a something that is a loss or a sadness for you on that day, but it's not going to ruin your kids. It's not going to ruin their lives. So parent as best you can on that day, and just focus on doing all the other days well.
Boy, that's great advice. Our guest is Ron Deal. He's the author of The Smart Step Family and the director of Family Life Blended at Family Life. It's 11:46. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break here. And by the way, we have three copies of Ron's book, The Smart Step Family, to give away. If you'd like one of those, give us a call at 877-93-FAITH and give us your contact info. Even if you're not in a blended family, perhaps you know someone who is. What a nice Christmas gift this would make for them. Call us at 877-93-FAITH in the next 10 minutes or so. Give us your contact info, and we'll have a drawing at the end of the hour for three copies of The Smart Step Family. I'm Bill Meyer. This is the Faith Radio Network, our website, myfaithradio.com, and we're going to take a quick break. Be right back with our final segment with Ron Deal.
Now, back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
Welcome back. Did you know that there are one out of every 28 school kids in America who has a parent in jail or prison? That is over 2.7 million children. And since 1982, Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree program has been working to provide Christmas gifts for these kids. Now, Neil Staven will be talking about Angel Tree this coming week on Connecting Faith, and you can get involved in Angel Tree this year. You can find out more by going to myfaithradio.com. Prayerfully consider how you might make a huge difference in the life of a child whose parent or sometimes both parents are incarcerated. Well, it's 11:49. My guest is Ron Deal. Ron is the author of The Smart Step Family, probably the seminal book, reaching out to blended families. That he's revised this book. It's been expanded. As he said, about 50% of it is new. This is such an important resource, and not just for blended families, also for Christian leaders. If you're a pastor, if you're an associate, maybe you are a small group leader, perhaps you're in Christian education, maybe you're a counselor, get this book and put it on your shelf. You will refer to it often, and it will help you in so many ways in ministering to those who are in a blended family. Ron, we're talking about the holidays and some of the things that blended families have to deal with. There's a lot of stress involved. One of the things that's important is giving your kids permission to enjoy the other household and the other family members while they're away from you. And that's really critical, because the kids might feel a lot of guilt. It's like, I'm leaving mommy to go to daddy and daddy's parents' house, those grandparents. I'm not going to be with mommy on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And I shouldn't enjoy myself. I shouldn't be happy. I should just have a frown on my face when I open those presents, because if I'm happy, I'm betraying mommy. So mommy has an important role to play in giving those kids permission.
Yeah, you've described it really well. It always cuts both ways for kids. I'm thrilled to be going to dad's house, but I'm going to miss my mom and my grandparents on that side of the family and other people. But then when I come back to mom's house, I'm glad to be with her, and I'm missing my dad. So, I mean, there's always an upside and a downside for kids. The one other thing they don't need to be worrying about is whether they have to take care of you. You know, so mom's sending them to dad's house, and they're thinking, wow, if I show my excitement to see dad, I'm really going to hurt my mom's feelings. Well, kids are very sensitive, I mean, hypersensitive to how their parents are reading them and what they think that means. They don't want to hurt mom's feelings. So when mom says, hey, enjoy your time with your dad this weekend, enjoy Christmas, I hope you have a great time, look forward to seeing what gifts you got when you come back, wow, does that just lift all of that pressure off of them? You know, you said earlier, when two elephants fight, it's the grass that suffers. Well, when the elephants aren't fighting, then the grass thrives, okay? And that's the difference for them. So that little act of have a good time just releases all that pressure for kids.
Now, something else that's important, and this would extend not just to the couple involved in the original divorce and remarriage, but also to extended family members, and that's to be aware of loyalty and loss. What do you mean by that, Ron?
You know, at the top of the hour, before I joined you on the program, you shared an email from a listener, and you commented to her. She and her fiancé had broken up. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And you were giving her some really good advice about wrestling through the holidays. Same thing happens with step families. There is always a sadness that is ever present because something isn't quite right. Somebody isn't there. You know, mom passed away. We can't do Christmas and not think about mom. You know, I'm here at dad's house, but my brother is over at mom's house. I can't help but miss my brother. It's just the way it goes. Now, that doesn't destroy the happiness or the celebration, but it does dampen it sometimes. And I think parents ought to be really proactive in bringing that stuff up. You were talking to that woman and you said, you know, be a part of a community. Let people minister to you. Be with others during this season. Don't just sit and sulk in your sadness. Same thing's true for adults and kids in blended families. You know, we got to bring it up. But dad says, wow, I know you're missing your mom. I'm missing your mom. can't help but be thinking about her. You know, dad's remarried, but that doesn't mean he doesn't miss their mother on some level. But when they bring it up and you talk about it, it allows people to be real with that sadness and that sorrow and to actually find some comfort. You are not going to fix it. I mean, I tell parents that all the time. We're not going to fix this. Mom is gone, period. But what we are going to do is we're going to share that sadness, and somehow that helps us carry the load and make it through.
Talk to grandparents specifically for a second, Ron, because in many holiday celebrations, the grandparents are there. They're on one side of the step family or the other. They can either be a huge help to the situation or they can be a terrible hindrance by what they say and what they do.
Number one, if you're going to do anything as a grandparent, be inclusive in your attitude. To be exclusive is to say, well, these are my biological grandchildren, and you're not. So, you know, grandparents who do that do strange things, like they spend $100 on a gift on their bio step kids or their biological grandkids, but they only spend $20 on this. That sort of favoritism makes a big statement to everyone in the home. What it says is, some of you are family and some of you are not. Mm-hmm. That attitude will be very divisive. It will hurt feelings. It will generate conflict between family members. Do not do that. Save the day. You know, you be the one who says, no, we're going to be inclusive. We're going to welcome. We're going to treat everybody the same. We're going to spend individual time with all of the kids and new son or daughter-in-law that may be in this situation. Whatever that story is for you, have an inclusive heart and mind and soul. And that, I think that creates a grace, Bill, that just encourages other people to have a similar sort of attitude with one another. And that just spreads around the family, and that's a good, good thing.
You know, I was just thinking as you were painting that picture, Ron, of the little 8-year-old girl who is the stepchild, and she's there with the biological siblings, and grandma has, you know, a brand new bike for the bio kids,
yeah.
You know, and she gets a piece of candy. I'm just throwing that out. But it just breaks my heart to think that a grandparent could be so unfeeling and hurt a little innocent little child who had nothing at all to do with the fact that their son or daughter couldn't make their marriage work for whatever reason and got a divorce, and now they're taking it out on this little kid. That's just a sin. I'm sorry. I have to say that. It really, really brings up a lot of anger for me thinking about that image.
Yeah, you're right. That's an injustice. And that's absolutely what it is. And I've spent some time with some grandparents who have done those sorts of things. And as I listen to them, you know, what's behind it is they think somehow they're going to right the wrongs that have happened from their point of view. And it just isn't so. It just isn't so. I understand that you may have had your heart broken, or there may be some disappointment in some of the choices that other family members have made. And you may feel that. And that's legitimate. But that doesn't mean you have the right to come in and two wrongs don't make it right, sort of a thing. You've got to be somebody who says, you know, I got to rise above this. I got to find a way to love in spite of what's happened. And that sort of attitude is pervasive. I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? It's contagious. That's what it is. And if a grandparent can't bring that to the scene, then other people just stay divisive themselves. But you can be the change agent on behalf of other people.
Mm. Ron, we're out of time, and I've just appreciated so much this hour. I want to commend our listeners to familylife.com. They can actually find this article, which is a great article to help you if you're in this situation this Christmas. 13 Ideas to Manage Holiday Step Stress. Ron's book, once again, is called The Smart Step Family. Ron, I know you have a lot of great things coming up. Wish we had time to talk about them all, but folks can hear your special Blended Family Minute on the Faith Radio Network and find out more at My Family Life. Thanks so much for your time, Ron.
Thank you.
All right. That's it for the Faith Radio Network program today for today. We have more coming up. Neil Stavem's Connecting Faith is up next. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the program page for Dr. Bill Meyer Live.